In today's Mishnah, it's from the first and second Mishnah, from the ninth Perek of Masechet Bava Batra. The Mishnah begins, Mishnah met v'niach banim uvanot. If someone passes away and leaves sons and daughters, Mishnah says, b'zman sh'anachasim urubim, provided the state is significantly large, we explain that it's large enough to support both the sons and daughters until they mature. We say, ha'benim yirshu v'ha'benim izonu. Then the sons would inherit the state and the daughters would be supported from it. And this is by way of the sons. The sons would have the responsibility to support them until they matured or until they got betrothed. However, if there's not enough in the estate to support them all, then we say habanot yizonu, then we remove from the estate, we put aside in trust, if you'd like, money to support the daughters, and then the sons would receive the remainder. And it says, v'habani mishallah patachim, since it's not enough really funds to support them, then we say they would have to find other means of financing themselves. Mishallah patachim means they might even have, if they go to ask for tzedakah. Admon omer, Admon says, no, bishvil shani zachar hifsarati, because I'm a male, I should lose out. In other words, what's Admon's rationale here? He's saying, generally, when it comes to Yerusha, in the order of precedence, we learned the previous perek, we say that the first point of call is the sons. If the sons would inherit, they would share the state evenly, even the presence of daughters. So his point is, when it comes to the laws of Yerusha, the koach, the, if you like, the claim of the sons is stronger than that of the daughters. And therefore, he says the sons shouldn't be any worse off in this situation. Rather, his argument, therefore, is that they should all be supported equally from the estate. So Yizonu kulam ke'echad, as the way Kati explains it. Amar Rabban Gamliel, Rabban Gamliel says, Ro'eh ani divrei Admon. Rabban Gamliel says here that I actually see the position here of Admon, and I see the logic is with him. Nonetheless, Kati points out, the halach is not like Admon, and really we'd set aside enough funds to support these daughters, and their sons would have to make do with the remainder and find their own means of supporting themselves. Now, if you remember, this mishnah should sound familiar, because we learned it back in Masechta Ketubot, albeit probably over a year ago, or about a year ago, in the 13th parak. And that's where we saw the different debates that involved Admon and the Chachamim, but I'll leave that for your own review. Let's learn Mishnah Bet. Heniach banim uvanot v'tumtum. If someone left sons and daughters, if he passed away, and he also had a tumtum. If you remember, there are two types of children that are born where the gender is questionable. One is a tumtum, where it's unclear what the gender is, and the other one was an androgynous. I'm just mentioning the androgynous here for completeness. That's where it's clear that it seemed to have features of both male and female. The Mishnah here is not talking about androgynous. The Mishnah here is talking about a tumtum. That's where it's safek, where it seems to be covered over. We're actually not sure what the gender of this child is. Mishnah says, "Bizman she'anechasim merubim," in the situation where there's enough money in the estate. In that situation, as we mentioned in the previous Mishnah, the position of being male is more favorable. We say, "Hazacharim dochin etel nekavot." The zacharim say, "We'll prove to us you're a male, that you can inherit along with us." So therefore, since you cannot prove so, you'll be treated like one of the daughters, and we will support you until you mature. In a situation when the nechasim are mu'atim, in a situation where the estate isn't so large, and we explain according to Chachamim, then being a daughter is far more advantageous, because the daughters are supported completely, they have first priority. We say, ha'nekevot dochot oto el atzachrim, the daughters will say to the tumtum, prove to us you're a male. Otherwise, we're sending you amongst the other brothers and sons, and you'll have to support yourself. Ha'omer, if someone says, im teled ishti zachar yutol maneh, if someone who is unwell and he says, is a shchiv mera here, Kati explains, and he says, if my wife gives birth to a son, yutol maneh means he should take 100 zuz as a gift, yalda na zachar, if she does indeed give birth to a zachar, this child would receive a maneh, the 100 zuz. Now, normally, we say that someone cannot mezake, cannot transfer property or acquire for a ubar, a fetus, so a person not yet born yet. And so one might think that if this person died before the child is born, then he shouldn't receive it. Mishnah is saying, no, he does. Now, why is that? We say, Mishnah, this is a similar rationale we said previously, and that is Adam Krova Etzel Benos. A person has a lot of affection for his child, and the Chacham Yemeda Takana, that would work, because in this situation, the person, this Shechiv Mara, is gravely ill, and in order not to cause him any more pain, which could be quite dangerous for him, they said that such a tenai would actually work. If he says, Nekeva Matayim, if I have a daughter, I want to give her 200, as opposed to where the son previous case was 100, then Mishnah says, Yalda Nekeva Notel Matayim. Very similar, we say that if he gives birth to a daughter, then she would receive that 200. Kati cites the Gemara that the reason why in this example it says that if he gives birth to a daughter, when it comes to a daughter who was going to give her more. That is because the Gemara explains it's the way of males and lesser females to actually to start going door knocking to try and get supported. Consequently, the father is likely to give in this situation, or this, at least in this case, trying to gift his daughter to protect her more. Mishnah continues, Im zachar meneh im nekeva matayim. If he says, look, if I have a son, I want to give him 100. If it's a daughter, I want to give 200. Mishnah says, what if they have twins? Yadah zachar nekeva. Then it's not a problem. He said, ha zachar notel maneh, va nekeva notel matayim. Now, we might think, isn't that obvious? And he says, no, it's not obvious, because he may have only been considering one child. However, nonetheless, with these two children, each would receive according to the stipulation. Yalda tumtum, if he gives birth to a tumtum, this, again, is a child whose gender-specific parts are covered over, and we're not really sure what gender it is. The Mishnah says, Eino Tel doesn't receive anything. And that's according to opinion of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, the Gemara explains, who says a tumtum is neither male or female, rather different gender, Bria Bifnei Atzma. However, the Halacha is not like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, like the Chachamim, and the tumtum is a Safek. And since it is a Safek, meaning it's a doubt, it would take the lower of the two sums, meaning 100, not 200. It says, however, im amar kol ma shelishti yitol, whatever my wife gives birth to, it should take, whatever the sum of money says, harezi yitol, it would take. We don't say that because he said, whatever my wife gives birth to, he only meant male or female, he wasn't thinking of tumtum. No, because he said, whatever my wife gives birth to, it would include this tumtum. And Mishnah then continues, im ein sham yoresh elohu, yoresh etakol. If we have a tumtum who is the only heir to an estate, we say that it is considered a zera, it's considered one of his offspring, and therefore would inherit the entire estate. We don't say that it's neither male or female, and therefore we're trying to find another heir. No, this is considered one of his offspring, and it would, as I said, would inherit the entire estate. There's a Mishnah today.